Lamer Gamers, this is Lamer Travis for the Lamer Gamers Podcast. Rowdy 5000 is currently in Asgard on Rainbow Road riding reindeer and fighting the Jotnar, so he is unable to join the show. In today's episode, I'll give you a glimpse at the latest Nintendo, PS5, Xbox, and a little smidgen of PC news. We're going to try to start incorporating just a hair, because we have some listeners on Reddit that really want it. So, we'll try to talk about it, including some surprise game announcements from the Switch. PlayStation 5 is apparently more important than toilet paper. Cyberpunk 2077 is causing people to lose their minds. And Xbox is going to bring a game back from the brink of darkness. And more, including the Lamer of the Week, which isn't exactly what we ordered. Afterwards, I'll give you my impressions of the Xbox Series X we have officially deemed the Chad Box. All that and more on the Lamer Gamers Podcast. Now, let's join in the latest Mario Kart tournament where we shall load up our best red shells, stars, and bullet bills for a chance at taking on Rainbow Road in Asgard. Rowdy's already there prepping the scene. Now, Thor may be the god of thunder, but he's not ready for the pure, unadulterated fury of Luigi using a lightning bolt to throw him off the Rainbow Road in Valhalla. Loki, cue the music! Before we press the start button on the news, if you like what we're doing, don't forget to press up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start, then like and subscribe on your current podcasting provider. Also, check out at LamerGamersCast on Twitter and share the show with the lamer you know. Now, let's hop into the news. So, Nintendo has not really been in the news a whole lot lately. There have been a slew of third-party games that are all over the system because, I mean, this is what Nintendo does. Whenever Nintendo is selling like crazy, they just kind of hang back, chill. They throw a game out every now and then, but they're really letting their third parties just run the show at the moment. Now, so there are some interesting games that are announced, though, that are just for the Switch. Now, this first one, or really this main one, I'm not going to talk about a whole lot of them, honestly, is probably on other consoles. It's really just a mixture of old games. The Capcom Arcade Stadium is coming to Nintendo Switch February. Now, at first, I thought this was a pretty fantastic idea. So let's read what they say about this. Rediscover the era of one-ups and quarter-eaters with Capcom Arcade Stadium, a collection of Capcom's most beloved arcade games spanning three decades. With 32 action-packed classics featuring some of the best games in Capcom history, such as Street Fighter II, The World Warrior, and Strider. This compilation of retro games allows you to travel back in time to scratch that nostalgic itch or share your fond childhood memories with friends or family members. So, that sounds fantastic, right? That sounds like, oh man, 32 arcade games? That sounds wonderful, Capcom. Of course I want 32 games. Yeah. Not so much. Not so much. So let's get to the second part. Start off with a free copy of 1943, The Battle of Midway. Okay, cool game. Cool game. And then add your collection with the Ghost and Goblin standalone add-on. What, add-ons? Add-ons? Okay, let's keep reading. Or with any of the three game packs. Capcom, why? Why are you doing this to us? Just let us have these games all at once. We paid for them back in the day, probably on another system and another bundle, and we probably paid for these games with a bunch of quarters back in the day, too. Way more than they're probably worth now. But, okay, let's see what's in the bundle. Each game bundle contains 10 classic games dedicated to an era of arcade goodness. So, that's what it is. They kind of give you a series of years. So, let's, before we get into what's in each one of these packs, let's see what they actually do. I mean, these are emulated games, right? They're really just probably tossing these on a fancy emulator that Capcom probably made. Probably. They might be stealing some free source or open source stuff. We've seen that happen in the past. So here are some of the fancy emulator features. So it says that all of them will feature modern things such as rewind options and save state slots. Okay. All compatible titles will feature support for local two-player action. So that's cool. That's actually kind of nice. Additionally, a range of display options and screen filters will be on offer, providing crisp HD visuals or classic old-school CRT. Okay. So it's like any other arcade game. Nothing fancy there. Well, what's in the pack? Pack 1, Dawn of the Arcade, 1984 to 1988. Volgus, Commando, Pirate Ship, Higamaru, 1942, Tatakai, Nobanka, Legendary Wings, Bionic Commando, Section Z, Forgotten Worlds, and Ghouls and Ghosts. Okay. I mean, if you're really into old school arcade games, like, you're probably a little bit older than me. You might like that one. Okay. So, cool, I guess. I don't know the price. There's no price for this anywhere. So if the pricing is, I mean, if it's $10 for these games, yeah, that sounds like a good deal to me. But something tells me this is like $30 for all these games. Pack 2. Arcade Revolution, 1989 to 1992. It includes Strider, Dynasty Wars, Final Fight, 1941 Counterattack, Senjo no Akami 2, Mega Twins, Carrier Air Wing, Street Fighter 2, The World Warriors, Captain Commando, Varth, Operation Thunderstorm. Cool. I've seen a lot of these games, though, in other packs on other systems, and there's probably some that are already on the Nintendo Switch, like the Street Fighter stuff. Yeah, I mean, you get that already. So how many times are you going to buy Street Fighter? Capcom thinks you're going to buy Street Fighter all the times, and they're probably right. Pack 3, Arcade Evolution, 1992 to 2001. This one has Warriors of Fate, Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. Why not just combine them? Now, this is supposed to be an arcade emulation, I guess. There are, like, super hardcore nerds out there, or lamers. Oh, we'll call them lamers. We like you. I mean, I understand. Sometimes there's certain games that, yeah, this one is better because of... Sorry, guys, if you are hearing random coughing and hacking. All of my dogs got a cold at the same time, and they sound lovely. Anyway, so, you know, there's probably like a half a second difference on when you press a button, or probably even less than that for one of these games. But anyway, enough complaining. Powered Gear, Strategic Variant Armor Equipment, Cyberbots, Full Metal Madness, 19XX, The War Against Destiny, Battle Circuit, Gigawing, 1944, The Loot Master, and Pro Gear. So, lots of top-down shooters, like in the sky, stuff like that. So, if you're into those kind of games, keep an eye out. It looks like it's packaged pretty nicely, like not physically packaged, but it looks like the presentation is good. Might be worth keeping an eye on. Next up in Nintendo news, and there's not a whole lot once again, because Nintendo's there's just selling a bunch of systems. They did announce they showed more gameplay with Monster Hunter Rise at the Game Awards, which the Game Awards was pretty good. We'll talk a little bit about that in the Sony section, but not a whole lot. But Monster Hunter Rise is looking fantastic. Next, there is an update for Rocket League. Now, you already know that Rocket League went free recently. Well, split screen is back, baby. If you like playing with people in your house, and you can do that, split screen now works on the Switch. So, you know, just like you can put two pieces of toast in a toaster, now you can have two people playing at the same time on your toaster in Rocket League. So, and Rocket League is in the second season right now. So if you really like that game, since they've gone free to play, it might be a good time to jump back in and get a friend involved. Final thing for the Switch news, Doom Eternal is now running on the toaster from hell. They actually got this game running on there. Now, I've played it because it was on Game Pass, and it looks really good on Game Pass. It runs really fast. Now, I haven't played it on the Series X, though. Maybe I need to boot that up, but it seemed like it was kicking in at a, you know, on the 1X at a good 60 frames per second. Now, don't expect this to run, it's, you know, as well, of course. I mean, way different hardware, but apparently it runs better than the other version of Doom on the Switch already, which is impressive because there's more to this game. And it includes gyro, which is super important. I don't care if you disagree with me. Gyro is important. Now, it runs at about a 720p resolution, and it scales down, but it seems to keep the frame rate locked in at about 30 frames per second. The only time that it really chugs is during cutscenes. So that is the main issue right now. Other than that, it's supposed to be a really good version of it. Now, if you want to fight demons while you're on a plane or something, you can do that. All right, let's move on over to Sony news. Did you know that the PlayStation 5 is apparently, according to Google searches, more important than toilet paper? So they released a whole bunch of search results this year, and there was a how to buy section. And you could see the top five how to buy blah, 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 right? Well, first place was how to buy a PS5. Second place was how to buy toilet paper. Now, if you remember from around February and March, that was a hot commodity. People were reselling toilet paper and all sorts of craziness. So apparently this is more important than toilet paper. I don't think you can use it for the same functions, and nor would I advise it. But anyway, so next up, speaking of good news for PlayStation, it is outselling the Xbox Series X and S nearly 2-to-1 on the resale market. Now, I want to be specific when I say resale market. You know, the place that is not in store. Now, it is, of course, outselling it in store. That they're, as we're kind of seeing what Microsoft has been doing, it definitely seems like they were not as ready for this launch as the PlayStation was. We found that out because their GDK was released in June. They were waiting on some extra hardware to be developed. So it's honestly probably need a little bit more time, but they wanted to get out there and compete. So it looks like, according to GameSpot, the average price for a $500 PS5 is $900 through their website. If you were spending $900 on a PlayStation 5, you're probably dumb. I should be nicer than that, right? You probably have a lot of extra money and want to spend it. Now, the average for a Xbox Series X on their website is $730 on StockX. It has seen the sale of more than 60,000 PlayStation and Xbox consoles globally as of December 8th. That to me is insane. Now, if you go on eBay, it's about the same. Now, I have been seeing, I think people are getting more desperate the closer it gets to Christmas. And I look on eBay and it's like $1,000 for each console. Let's take a gander through eBay at this moment when I'm recording. So if I want to buy an Xbox Series X, I will have to pony up, let's see, $899, $949, $705, $899. So, yeah, it looks like it's leaning towards getting in the $800 or $900 areas now. Some people selling them for $1,000. Let's look at the PlayStation 5. It is $1,100, $2,000, $1,600. People are dumb. Now, how many of these actually say they've sold? So you can do buy it now from all sorts of prices. Usually they're hitting in 1,000. I think they're just kind of waiting, but this one says $998 and they've sold 9. I think, guys, look, if you're thinking of buying a PlayStation 5 or an Xbox Series X and you can't get it legitimately, beware. We've talked about this last episode. There are a lot of people that are doing resales and people are getting robbed. You're, of course, getting robbed online when you buy it for this price. I'll admit it's not easy to get one, but there's not a whole lot of exclusives out there. So unless you're like really, really wanting to play Cyberpunk, which you really need a PC for. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Those extra prices aren't worth it. If you can get one for a regular price, good. I mean, I had to work to get mine. So did Rowdy. It's not easy, so I can understand that aspect. Anyway, so it looks like we got one more thing for Sony, and we're moving pretty fast through today's podcast. Spider-Man Remastered and the Miles Morales game added a performance ray tracing mode. Now, this seems to drop the traffic and pedestrian density a little bit, but that's kind of to be expected. Okay, so if you have been playing, I know Rowdy says he's been playing in performance mode. He says it looks great still. This is still going to drop a couple of things compared to the regular performance, but it keeps that fancy ray tracing in there. It's lowered quality a little bit. But I will say, some games need to be played in 60 frames per second. Some are okay in 30. This seems, you know, I think it's pretty quick paced. I probably wouldn't want to play that at 30 frames. I can understand that. All right, guys. So let's go ahead and move on to the Xbox news. And like I said, there's not a whole lot of news. There were some games announced during the Game Pass Awards. There were some Xbox games. First up, Perfect Dark. They are bringing it back. Now, it is going to be put out by The Initiative. Sounds pretty cool. There's only a little teaser. There's not really much shown. They are hinting at it being more than just a first-person shooter. If you know anything about Perfect Dark, it was essentially Rare's answer to loot, not really having another GoldenEye to make. If you're around during the Nintendo 64 days with the wacky three-pronged controller with the joystick that is way worse than all the Joy-Con drift we're dealing with nowadays. I mean, those things would get gross and dusty, and they wouldn't work because people played Mario Party and just ate those controllers alive in the process. But Rare was looking for a game that they could have that used basically the same formula as GoldenEye 007, which was absolutely fantastic. Had great multiplayer at the time. It was a really good first-person game. So they released Perfect Dark. Eventually, they released another one later on with Microsoft whenever they got bought. Wasn't as good. So we're going to see if this one's pretty good. They do seem to say that there's going to be more adventure. It's going to be like a first-person shooter adventure game. I'm curious to see what they do with it. I'm not too familiar with how The Initiative works with large first-person adventure games, so it should be interesting. Next up, Halo has been pushed back. Way back. They are going to be pushing it all the way back until holiday in 2021. Now, guys, remember Craig, right? Craig was the really ugly looking dude. Wasn't very graphically well created. Just kind of normal baddie. I forgot what they're actually called. I actually don't play a lot of Halo. But they have taken Halo Infinite and just redoing almost everything at this point. It was so poorly received. But also, like I said, Microsoft got out that GDK, that's the game development kit, in June. I think we're seeing a lot of surprises being thrown at people. We're seeing a lot of hardware that is so new. I think they really need to take some time, and I'm okay with this. Now, a lot of people are angry. A lot of people are really angry that, you know, Microsoft doesn't really have any big exclusives right now. They don't really, like, I'm not buying the Xbox for Halo at all. It's like not really something. I'll play it because it's going to be on Game Pass, but I'm really there for the Game Pass environment. And there's a lot of third-party games that run really well. There's a lot of old games I need to play. But this game is not ready, and people are giving them flack for that, and they should not. And that leads us into the Lamer of the Week runner-up. See, we have two Lamers of the Week. Now, this first one, this is why you should not complain about a game not being ready. And, you know, as a long-time Nintendo fan, we're used to this. They push back games at Nintendo all the freaking time. You know, Shigeru Miyamoto has like an old, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but he says, a bad game is never good. A delayed game might be eventually good, essentially. So, you know, if you're going to release a game that is not ready, you're going to pay for it. Well, that comes up to our runner-up for the Lamer of the Week is Cyberpunk 2077, because it's causing everyone to lose their freaking minds. Now, let's go over what's happening here. Now, Cyberpunk 2077 is by far one of the most divisive games this year, and it probably shouldn't have released until next year, to be honest. We're going to go over who's at fault for losing their mind. I think it's a lot of people. I think almost everybody's at fault for losing their mind. But this is also why I think people should be okay with Halo Infinite maybe coming out a little bit later than they expected, because this is a terrible launch for a game. Now, on the old consoles it is. We'll go into that in a minute. But let's go over first part. Before it even released, there was a whole mess of political nonsense. Now, I'll be honest, there's no way I can make a statement about this game without being forced to reside on one side of an argument I probably don't want to be a part of. And you can look up the controversies on your own time and develop your own opinions. Unfortunately, the hyper-divisive world we live in does not allow me to dive into this topic and give my opinion without risk of backlash. I'll find other venues to do that. Because that being said, we really don't talk about politics and video games too much, because Rowdy and myself don't tend to always agree and don't want to bring a whole lot of that in the show. Now, even making a non-statement like that is probably too much. Somebody's probably already mad at me. But I will be playing the game in the future when the Gen 9 version comes out on the Xbox Series X and may have more to say about it then. Until then, I don't see the point over arguing with people about a game they probably haven't played. Maybe we'll have a bonus points in the future about this topic, but something tells me it'll do more to tear people apart than bring them together. So, first up, political nonsense people are at fault for losing their minds. The people on Twitter looking to cancel each other and all that kind of stuff. Next up, devs. They've been working on this game for 8 years now. It's been pushed back multiple times. The company has done everything it can to avoid crunch, but eventually is giving in. They've even gone out to glorify themselves that they're not pushing for crunch time, but eventually had to do it, because these kind of open world games may take more time than is logical to most people. They're massive undertakings. That being said, I think the devs are to blame for aiming at a high-end PC spec first, but trying to keep profits by selling the very not good, actually kind of bad, version on the Xbox One and PS4. I mean, they are rough. The game tends to run less than 20 frames per second at times. And if you go to the next-gen consoles on the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, you still find a lackluster experience compared to the PC, because it's really not ready. They've designed these games to run essentially in a backwards compatibility mode on the new consoles. Now, as of right now, the best experience seems to be on the Xbox Series X in quality mode. It's the closest to the PC spec, which forces 30 frames per second. The PlayStation 5 doesn't have the choice of a quality or performance mode, but it does a decent job at staying at 60 frames per second, but it loses the clutter of the city. It loses that movement and life in the world around it. So it makes it seem a bit empty in comparison. The most surprising thing, it pains me to say this, Stadia might have one of the best versions for people without a next gen gaming rig. Y'all know how much we have torn into Stadia for every little mistake it's made. But they found the sweet spot of a game that performs so bad on consoles compared to PC that it actually kind of makes sense to play it on the Stadia, unless you want to wait for the Gen 9 upgrades on the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, which Gen 9 update is basically they redo the game, not completely redo it. They use all the same textures and stuff, but they recompile it so it can work with the full power of the CPU and the GPU and all the other fancy bells and whistles and who's it's and what's it's. So Stadia is actually running comparatively stable compared to the Xbox One OG and the PlayStation 4, which run like garbage. There's a lot of memes online. There's one where it shows like a picture of Keanu Reeves, like looking all cool and whatnot coming out of a car versus, and it says how I thought 2020 was supposed to go compared to how it is now. And it shows like the Keanu Reeves character hacking and coughing, apparently. Thank you, dog, for the extra noise with that. But essentially, it looks like Keanu Reeves is just over there on the floor dying. Thank you. Thank you, Belle. Was that Belle? That's Belle. Belle comes in with the perfect timing. So I also kind of see the devs as part of the problem here. Well, let's go. Who else is to blame? I'm just blaming everybody. The fans. See, the fans have been waiting for this game forever, so they can't be completely to blame. This game's been talked about for 8 years. Some people put their money down on this game more than 2 years ago or even longer. The thing is, after the backlash for multiple release date changes, they finally just did it, you know? They let them have the game and they let them have it. That's one way to put it. So now you see people losing their mind over an unfinished game they asked for. And that's what you get when you ask for a game that's not ready. So now you're going to take your low poly, low LOD, untextured piece of cake and eat it if you're one of those people. And you're going to like it, dang it. So now I'm probably being a little bit hyperbolic, but when a dev pushes a game back, there's usually a reason. And I'm curious if this will make people realize they shouldn't pre-order a game and just wait a little bit, you know, because these open world games, man, there are so many bugs that a year later, it's a completely different experience. So now the problem comes in, though, you know, as a society, we experience things together, you know. Is it worth missing out on that collective experience with your friends? Because right now, like, I can't talk about Cyberpunk 2077. I'm not jumping in on the debates and all the crazy that's going on that I talked about at the beginning. And I know some people that are playing it on Stadia because, I mean, basically Stadia is giving, they're using this to get Stadia in your home as much as possible. Like, if you buy Cyberpunk on Stadia, they give you a controller, they give you a Chromecast thing to eventually die behind your TV whenever everybody else's version gets better. But is it worth it right now to just go get the Xbox Series X version for myself? Now, I'm tempted because people are so mad with the Xbox One version, which is the worst. Like, the OG Xbox is the weakest console out of all of them, except for the toaster, right? Except for the Switch. But it's not on the toaster. But there's people selling it online for like $40. And to me, that's a steal, right? Because the way that it works is I can use the Xbox One version, play the Series X version later on when it comes out, and I save $20 in the process. Or 30, depending on who you buy it from. So I'm going to look into that. All right. I have one more person to blame. Since I'm just tossing blame around. Everybody's to blame, right? Everybody. Keanu Reeves. I'm blaming Seriously, man, he hyped this game like crazy. And my wife's over there like, shocked hands. Okay. Now, I am kind of joking whenever I say Keanu Reeves. I mean, he was pretty much involved in the hype. I mean, this game has pushed so much hype. It used these characters that we love. You know, Keanu Reeves is a loved celebrity. He's in the game, and it adds a little bit of extra clout to it. But here's my question to you. Would people be as excited if Keanu Reeves was not involved in the story? So my wife is shaking her head. But here is my counter question. Do you think Keanu Reeves got popular again because of cyberpunk hype? That is a question I think people need to really look into. I think it's a little bit of both. I think there's a synergy between the two. You know, everybody loves Keanu Reeves. He's in a lot of movies like The Matrix, John Wick, where you have all these like superhero tech guys, cyberpunk universes in a sense. It makes a lot of sense. I think there's this almost symbiotic relationship between the both of them that is working out. You know, cyberpunk has this dude that hypes the game, and this dude's getting a little bit of extra hype because he's in a massive game that is popular. And I'll say this. While I can't give them the main winner right now for Lamer of the Week, because the game is reviewing well. It is a good game from what people are saying. It has issues on the old consoles. Major issues, though. And it's going to be fixed here in the future. We've seen what's happened with The Witcher 3 in the past. Witcher 3 had a lot of similar issues. It ran like garbage. Total garbage, and was fixed. And now it's one of these games that are just people absolutely love. But at the same time, we're all just beta testing the game. And that's really lame. Speaking of lame, the winner of Lamer of the Week, package warehouse and delivery employees that are part of scam rings. Scammers get it again, too. They get two Lamer of the Weeks this year. Now, they keep sneaking into our Lamer of the Week. They might have gotten it three. I ought to go back and count. Because y'all remember that they won in the past for all sorts of scam things where they were basically pretending to be the Robin Hoods, right? Actually, no, they got runner-up. Because we had Call of Duty sending out a game that was bricking consoles. Now, they did apparently fix that. They have patched the game to do less bricking. I still hear some people are having issues. I'm not a big fan of Call of Duty, so I'm keeping away from it. But let's get back to our current winner. They finally get the lovely gold award. So the biggest problem right now is Amazon in the UK. There are multiple stories going around that the fine folks, now I'm not talking about scammers when I say fine folks, you know, scammers are the equivalent of the fungus and rich like crust between somebody's toenails, but these fine folks are getting random items in the mail. Some of these items include a coffee machine. Now, you could potentially get a coffee machine that's worth the same price. I mean, if they put in a nice like espresso machine that's like $700 or $800, something tells me no, it's more like a Sunbeam brand piece of junk that drips the coffee through but tastes like lead and unhappiness. Probably that. Next up, a foot massager was sent in the mail on PlayStation 5. Potentially good. Not worth it, though. I can't think of a foot massager that goes up in price that much. Cat food. Cat food was sent instead of a PlayStation 5. I have seen some expensive cat food in my life. If you go into Petco or PetSmart, they sell cat and dog food for ridiculous prices there. I'm sure it is from the best, like, Wagyu beef in the Himalayan mountains that was delivered by golden eagles, but it's too much. Anyway, bedsheets were sent in. That seems like a major difference in weight. But if the thread counts were 4,000K, you know, 4K maybe. And then we have journalist Bex April May tweeted at Amazon that her PlayStation 5 order was quote-unquote missed. Then she received, got more air quotes for you, an unsolicited air fryer. Unsolicited. I love that that's there. Now, air fryers are good stuff, though. Like, you know, that, it's not worth it, but air fryers are good stuff. If you've ever cooked anything with an air fryer, I mean, it does potatoes fantastically. Meats are hit or miss. It depends on the type of air fryer you have, like if there's a heating element under it, like ours. Yeah, I mean, we heat meats in there. But if you like put in pork or something, and I see little bits of fire show up, and that's always scary. So, you know, yeah, air fryer. And I think my favorite, though, has been water bottles weighing the exact same weight. Now, this was on Reddit in America. And what's so great about it, you know, they posted that it was like fancy bottled water, at least, you know, some sort of artisanal junk. But what was really funny about it later on was somebody posted that they accidentally got an Xbox instead of bottled water as a joke post. And you know, everybody loved that. So, you know, I had to ask, you know, whenever it says 60, FPS, you know, what does that really mean? All that good stuff. So there was a lot of good jokes made with that one. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to talk about my concerns because I got an Xbox Series X in the mail, right? I'll talk about my impressions here in a minute. I got a little worried for a little bit. Now, I will say this. If you order a console and you get about 13 pounds of sugar-free gummy bears, make sure that you do not eat them. But instead, contact Amazon or whoever you ordered them from and let them know. Most likely, people are getting refunds. They're not getting a new console shipped to them. You'll also need to contact the package shipper to let them know because they will start an internal investigation. Unfortunately, you tell the police, they're not going to care. They have to start their investigation in the stores or with that group first. All right, so that is it for the Lamer of the Week. We are going to go ahead and move on. Next up, I'm going to give you my impressions of the Xbox Series X, or as Rowdy likes to call it, the Chad Box. I'll tell you the impressions of this 12 teraflopping, vape smoke producing ping pong ball floating, Rockstar energy drink can crushing, death metal mosh pit of a console after the break. To the pit! Guys, before I get started talking about my Xbox Series X impressions, don't forget that you can head over to www.lamergamers.com to listen to the show, download episodes, or find a podcast player to subscribe to. All right, guys, so I'm finally to it. Xbox Series X. Now, first up, let's talk about the unboxing experience or the getting experience. I can't even talk, right? So I ordered it from Walmart. I did the thing, and I think I talked about this last episode, where I had multiple screens open. I had multiple people involved, but I was the lucky one, right? Well, Walmart set a delivery date. I think it was like the 25th. FedEx apparently did not agree with that. They said it was going to be on the 24th, but then they got lost somewhere in Fort Worth. And then, like, I was watching this thing like a hawk, right? Because I was ready for it. Actually, I think it was the 5th. I don't remember. I've had the Xbox for about a week and a half. But, so, it goes south of Fort Worth, and it stays there. And, you know, I'm reading all this junk online. Like, I'm expecting, oh, man, they are replacing my Xbox with some water bottles. I hope they are good water. Like, I really don't want them to be that Sam's Choice stuff or the Walmart brand type that tastes like plastic instead of water whenever you drink it. At least give me something fancy like an air fryer, right? But so ends up going north of Fort Worth and finally gets to my house, but didn't show up in a normal way. It ended up showing delivery pending at about 7 o'clock after I've been waiting all day, right? I'm waiting in the house. It says it's going to be here this afternoon. I try to leave work as fast as I can so I can be here for it. 7 o'clock happens, pending delivery. 8 o'clock happens. Well, that's whenever they cut off delivery. So I'm guessing, I guess it's going to be tomorrow, right? So I had a major case of the sads. And, I just, at this point, like I went and got some food, did some random work or something online. Cause I think at that time, like I was just dead with work. It was a Friday. And I was brain dead at that point. Well, I had my window open over the side of my computer area. Cause I was watching for the FedEx guy. Out of the corner of my eye, I see some legs. They run. Then I see the legs again and they go off and I'm thinking, oh man, why are people in my yard? Who's at my house? Okay. We live in the middle of nowhere. Should be no legs outside my window. Right. Anyway, this is about 9:15 at night. So I go out, I peek out and it's like Christmas. There's a jolly FedEx employee hopping back into the car, after he did a sneaky drop, and I feel bad. I didn't even prepare cookies for him. You know, it's kind of sad. I yelled thank you as he rode away on his mechanized reindeer, called a FedEx truck. It was pretty intense, actually. But, so I got it. So, you know, bring it in. Let's talk about the unboxing experience, right? That's a strange thing that people love seeing, the unboxing of things nowadays. Now, back in the day, if I got a new console whenever I was a little kid, yeah, I did like the packaging of it, but it was pretty much flying up in the air after I saw it. So the boxes, it was pretty nice, actually. They seemed very well protected compared to some consoles. Compared to the 1X that I had gotten a while back, this experience seemed more like what I got with my Surface tablet. Everything was nice and neat. Everything was packaged in a very unique way to where you open it and it's like, you know, lights shine up and glitter pops out, or not exactly that, but, you know, it was nice. So it made it seem like a quality feel as a first impression. Glitter would be evil. If glitter came out of this box, I would give it back. Glitter is the devil. As an art teacher, once glitter happens, it never unhappens. It's like The Happening. It's terrible. As an aside, couple years ago, some students thought it would be a brilliant idea to cover my room in paper mache glue and glitter. I still find glitter to this very day. I feel like I should be over a campfire saying that. Art teachers around there with glitter lung just dying. Anyway, let's talk about the console itself. So, plugging it in, right? So, in my crazy research phase, because I get into lots of crazy research phases, this show probably wouldn't exist except if I didn't have this concept of crazy research phase. I've seen people having problems installing all sorts of things, such as installing games from their old hard drive, which I'd planned to do. Like, I wanted to be slap that baby in there and be ready to go. Okay. Well, I went ahead and did a fresh install. It didn't help that the app was basically useless, but everything went smooth. Fun fact, when you buy a new Series X or Series S, you get a free name change. So if you don't want to spend $10 to change your name, just spend $500 or $400 or $300, something like that. And you can change your name on a new console. So I changed mine to Lamer Travis. Anyway, I need some people to play Sea of Thieves with. So hit me up on Twitter and let's get that going. Now, booted up, console boots up really fast. It's the actual UI is pretty much the same as the Xbox. As far as the UI goes, there is one thing that I really like about it now. I used to play games and listen to music at the same time. It seems like they've added that back, because on the One X, I couldn't listen to Spotify and play like Diablo or Rocket League in the background, because a lot of times my wife, she's clapping, got little claps. A lot of times we'll just play music while one of us is, while she's working on something. It's a good time. So, and it's nice that you can actually determine how loud each one is. So if you want to listen to music louder than the game, or the game louder than music, it's a nice, nice little setup they have. Also, I've seen reports of people are like, oh man, the Xbox Series X is so much faster than the Xbox One. Maybe the One, but not the One X. As far as downloads go, download speeds are about the same. Nothing mind-blowing there. Well, the thing that I turned this console on with, the controller, right? There's not a whole lot of differences with it, but I like it more than I thought. It's slightly smaller. I don't really care for that aspect of it with my ham hock hands and wide shoulders, but I've gotten used to it. Okay, kind of like you get used to using a pro controller after you've been playing with the Wii U gamepad, right? Or you play with the Joy-Con puppy controller, I think they call it. It's not as bad as that, right? But it is a little bit smaller. Now, the textures are nice. I do like the way it feels on your hands. I'm sure it's going to get really gross later on, especially if you like eat Cheetos and drink Mountain Dew, like the old days. So it might be a little bit harder to clean. And after recently, so we just got a new dog that was, I'm going to say the nicest way, was gifted to us. It was a dog that was dumped and somebody lied to us about it being with a foster agency. So that was fun. But this dog apparently loves the little rubber ends of Xbox controllers. She killed two of them already. So I actually got a shake it for you. I got the Thompson professional repair kit for better gaming. I've got to replace some more controller nubs after this. But oh yeah, she's just trying to play games, right? Anyway, so I haven't had to replace the Series X controller. Like, that one is going higher up than all the other ones because she found the other two Xbox controllers laying around. But the textures are nice on this one. I'm seeing, though, now that I've taken apart some of these other Xbox controllers, I'm seeing a lot of gaps where grossness happens, and I'm a little worried that the texturing will make it harder to clean because I like to take apart my controllers every now and then and clean them out. But Rumble is about the same. It seems a little more wild for whatever reason, though. I think it's pretty much the same Rumble setup. I don't think there's any difference, so I don't know what's going on with that. The new D-pad, though, I really, really like. It's very clicky, and I'm starting to prefer games with it now. It's based off of the super-duper crazy expensive Xbox Elite controllers. Like, there's this little metal circular thingy that looks a lot like it. I didn't realize how much I would enjoy this, but it's working out pretty well. Even my wife didn't hate it completely. She got used to it. That's a riveting review. Okay. So like, I think that's about as good as I'm going to get. I liked the bigger one. Yeah, she liked the bigger control pad. I'm okay with it, but she can use the old chewed up controller. It's fine. Yeah, she likes dogs. Anyway, also good news with the controller is the Power A rechargeable batteries, which are sold everywhere. I have a charging doohickey. We'll use that as a dock. Dock is the right term. They're compatible with it, your old charger rechargeable batteries, but not the little door that sits over them so you can just drop them into a charging dock, which is really annoying, actually. So I've been trying to find just doors, charging doors, and they don't sell them. You try to contact somebody at Power A, and there is nobody at Power A. I'm pretty sure it's ran by robots. So I'm buying some new ones that were on sale for like 12 or 13 bucks, I think. So next up, let's go ahead and talk about some games, because I've been trying to download a range of games to give you some impressions on how they run, what benefits are there, what negative issues am I finding. Let's start off with Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Assassin's Creed Valhalla is so much better on the Series X compared to the One X. It's pretty dramatic, actually. Now, I played about 35 hours on the One X, 35 or 40 hours, I think. I put in close to the same amount of time on the Series X. The One X was a wobble fest. It was playable, don't get me wrong. It was 4K, but the screen tearing was terrible. It did have a lot of lag. When you went into battles, it was playable if you just kind of like snuck around. But if you're using timing for parries or whatever, it kind of became a problem. I'm finding this out that battles are way easier in my mode of play on the Series X. And there's a choice between performance at 60 frames per second with, of course, a variable 4K, right? Versus the quality mode at 30. And I just haven't gotten to it. I'll need to try it at some point. Rowdy did quality mode on his PlayStation 5, and he was just like, it's not worth it. He went back to 60 because there's not a huge like visual difference between the two. Now, that being said, either way you play it on any system outside of the graphical stuff, there are bugs all up in Valhalla. Now, I've probably been launched into the sky about 5 times since I've been playing. Just out of nowhere, I just get slingshotted up to the heavens. I don't understand why. I don't know what I did wrong in life, or maybe it's a good thing. I don't know. But none of it has been game-breaking. I almost had a game-breaking bug yesterday. I was going with this dude that was going to be the Earlman, basically leader, after a Shire Moot. Fun new word that I like now, Shire Moot. I need to start having Shire Moots at school or at work. But the guys were just sitting there talking to each other like, haha, we're going to battle. Yes, let's go to battle merrily. Go forth, horses. Let us battle. But they're just sitting there. So I accidentally kind of murked my own teammates right next to them. But that made them go. I guess they were, I don't know what happened, but one of the dudes that was riding on the horse like got stuck in battle mode, and he just kind of chased behind us while we were both on horses. So there are definitely bugs in the game. If you get stuck in a place, maybe just try murking somebody and it'll fix it. You know, it's how that game tends to work. There's a major plot across the whole world where everybody is corrupt. Murk. That's how Assassin's Creed is. All right. Next up, Tetris Effect Connected is somehow even more wild looking. There are more particle effects flying at your face, and it looks fantastic. Compared to the One X version, it runs about the same, but it is really cool. There's some levels in there that really show it off more than others. There's some where like fireworks are going off. Just seems like a lot more effects going on. I'd say 50% to 100% more at times. Wouldn't you say? It's just craziness. Yeah, it's a good one to show the system. I think it's a good stress test for TVs too. Like I kind of feel like whenever I buy a new TV in the future, like I want to bring Tetris Effect with me. In the far future. My wife keeps saying far future. But I want to bring that with me and be like, hey, if I'm going to spend money on my TV, I want to see how this game looks on it. Okay, next up, I tried Forza Horizon at 60 frames per second. It's gorgeous. I'm just not too much into racing games. If that's your thing, well, let me get that changed. I'm not too much into racing games that don't feel super dangerous the whole time. I really love me some Burnout. But it looks fantastic. It plays a lot smoother. I would definitely suggest it. Plus, there's a Cyberpunk 2077 car you can get in there. Next up, one game that tested, I wanted to test the solid state drive. Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire. As I've said many times in this podcast, one of my favorite games ever. On Xbox, it is slow. It takes forever to load. And it loads way faster. And auto HDR, which I want to talk about next. Auto HDR is what I thought it would be. It's fantastic. So far, I've tried out Deadfire, Skyrim, Diablo 3, Burnout, and more games to see what does the HDR look like. Is it good? Is it kind of meh? It's good. Now, I will say you do have to fiddle. There's quite a bit of fiddling. Not unlike a country band with the visual settings. Okay, you do have to play around with the gamma correction sometimes. In Diablo 3, I had to do that. Or just general lightness. Sometimes you'll notice that things get too dark. That was the biggest problem I had at Diablo. The backgrounds were super dark, and it was hard to see what was going on. You could see the enemies really well. You could definitely see the explosions or flashes. So I upped the gamma a bit. Now it's really good. And, you know, I'm now not only awash in horror in the wailing of demons, but I'm also awash in super colorful, pretty things. It's great. I'm playing the Mudungu build for the Witch Doctor, and he throws out a lot of greens, blues, reds. All these colors fly across the screen. It's really fantastic. Next up, Burnout. Is one game that surprised me. It definitely has much more of a range from light to dark, but the sparks are almost stupidly bright, like almost distractingly so if you're playing with the seeing behind the car. But I mean, in real life, if sparks were flying at you from in front, they would, of course, be very bright. So it looks really cool, like whenever you jump over a bridge, over a building, over a ravine, and hit 20 other cars, there's sparks flying everywhere. It looks very cool. Runs great, too. Nobody plays that game anymore, and it plays the same song over and over, and I don't think the Xbox can fix that. Okay, next up, Skyrim with mods. Now, I spent a lot of time downloading some of the mods. It looks really good now. 60 frames per second is really nice to see this game. But man, does it crash. Like, it crashes a lot. Anytime I would try to jump from one place to the next, I don't know what mod is causing it, but the game would crash. And actually, whenever I was, it might just be Skyrim itself. Whenever I was installing other games prior to this and I was playing Skyrim, like, things would crash and it would say, this game needs to be reinstalled. So, that's been the major issue. I think Skyrim is the problem. Hopefully, now they are putting Skyrim on Game Pass here again in a couple weeks. Hopefully, they might have a little update that uncaps 60 frames per second so you don't have to go, like, through a back alley version of unlocking that. But we'll see. So, that's been my impressions of how it runs. I mean, the system looks great. It looks, I still think it looks better than the PlayStation 5. It fits in with all my other stuff over there. Honestly, you could mistake it for a speaker if you weren't careful. I do kind of wish it glows green at the top. I might have to fix that and figure that out one day, because that might be fun as just like a little thing to do. I've seen some people actually take LEDs. There's a little, I guess, backup exhaust for the fan that people are putting their LEDs pointing in there, and it makes it look like it glows. But here's the question you've all been waiting for. Is it hot? No, it's really not that warm. I've actually played, I've been going over there and testing it, like putting my hand over it, trying to roast marshmallows. I put a brisket over there. Didn't work, as we told you, would not work. It never really feels that hot. It does push warm air. It pushes out very quietly. I haven't heard the system yet. Like, I can hear my Surface tablet over here pushing out a lot of air right now. but I haven't heard it on the Series X. And I still haven't. I need a ping pong ball. I need to float a ping pong ball over it to see if it really works like that. But it seems like it's pushing out warm air, but a large volume of it, if that makes a lot of sense. But it's not hot, I guess, because it's not compressed. It's a large area to push out the air. So, yeah, it's good stuff. So the next question, and I guess the final question before I end the show, do I think the console was worth it? Yeah, as of right now, there have been some concerns that it will play worse than the PlayStation 5. But after seeing Cyberpunk 2077, I'm starting to think those concerns are going to go away pretty soon. Cyberpunk is running really well on the Series X. And, I mean, for the backwards compatibility mode, right? I think a lot of that comes into the fact that the game was developed for PC first, not PlayStation 5 first. Or PlayStation 4. What I'm hearing is that, and I don't know how true this is, so take with a grain of salt, but it seems like Ubisoft games have been developed with the PlayStation 4 Pro and PS5 in mind, using their dev kits or variations of their dev kits to work with their own. And then they ported it over to the Xbox, which is why we saw a lot of those issues right off the bat that are fixed now. So I'm thinking that we're going to start seeing things happen the other way around, where we're already seeing some games unlocking at 120 frames per second, way easier on the Xbox Series X, and things like that are going to start moving differently. Also, once we start actually seeing optimizations using that GDK, I'm guessing sometime between February and April, we're going to really see some of these games shine. But for now, backwards compatibility is pretty amazing. I have a massive backlog and multiple games to play on Game Pass as it is that are going to keep me busy for a while. I still have just three games that are going to take me way too much time. After Assassin's Creed, I'm going for Dragon Quest. After that, I'll probably go Cyberpunk, and I want to play The Ascent. You know, and I'll be honest, I didn't buy this system for Halo, which everybody's like concerned, oh, there's no major exclusive. There's a couple exclusive. There's a couple Game Pass things coming the way. But that's really what I'm here for, is the Game Pass ecosystem and the amount of Western RPGs coming out to the console in the next couple years. I think really it's going to be the best choice outside of paying more than like $1,000 for a new PC. Now, Japanese RPGs, probably going to be the PlayStation 5, right? But I do think they are being more friendly to those types of games. So that is it for the show today. Thank y'all for listening in. Next time, we're either going to have a regular show or we're going to do our top five games of 2020 in the top lamest things that happened. It's going to be one of those. I'm going to try to get Rowdy in, I think, for an episode before then, where we're going to talk about Nintendo and what people think Nintendo can do to keep up with these third-party games that are coming out for all these systems that are eventually, I think, going to start leaving the Switch. Granted, we see crazy things happening like Doom Eternal still hit the Switch and look okay. It's really crazy. All right, guys, if you like the show, share it with the lamer you know. Go to Twitter, follow us at LamerGamersCast, and next week or the week after, we'll see. I'll announce it on Twitter, so follow there. You'll hear a new episode of the Lamer Gamers Podcast. You guys have a good one, and...